The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. School is now in session. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Mark Durkin.
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
Well, good evening, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I am your headmaster and host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's a privilege to join you every Saturday evening here on AM 1280 The Patriot. And, of course, I'm joined in studio once again by my wonderful producer of Education Nation and co-host Mark Durkin.
Good evening to you again, Rebecca. How are you this week?
I am very good. We had a little bit of rain.
Yes, lots of it there on Thursday.
I know. Oh. I actually drive up my driveway and my grass is still green, and I love
Isn't that nice?
Yes, and it's not covered with leaves, and I'm thinking it's, you know, it's mid to late September here, and it's pretty nice that we're getting a lot of feel of summer.
You know, it's interesting because certain parts of the Twin Cities, I've noticed that the leaves are starting to turn color.
Really?
But they're not doing so where I live.
No, me neither.
Right. So
it still looks like summer at my house. I'm going to hang on to that as long as I can.
Yeah.
Well, back on our August 25th broadcast, we spent an entire show discussing the landmark Supreme Court case, Janus versus the American Federation of State, Country, or County and Municipal Employees. Council 31, which is a politically powerful government union.
Yes.
And by a 5-4 vote in June, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered a historic decision overturning 40 years of precedent, which is going to potentially cost public sector unions tens of millions of dollars. Well, the highest court ruled that unions can no longer charge fees for non-member government workers to help pay for collective bargaining. In writing for the majority on the Janus decision, Justice Samuel Alito stated, "We conclude that this arrangement violates the First Amendment free speech rights of non-members by compelling them to subsidize private speech on matters of substantial public concern."
And of all the public sector labor groups, teachers' unions are the largest, and they are the most politically potent. And during the 2016 presidential election alone, the National Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers spent a combined $63 million bolstering Democrats, much more money spent than any other public sector union. Now, in light of the Janus decision, the inability to charge fair share fees for core functions, teachers' unions fear their members will flee, their budgets will dwindle, and their ability to bargain with school districts and hold influence with politicians will diminish. The National Education Association, according to an article that was written by AmericanThinker.com, they boast more than 3 million union members as the nation's largest teachers union. And over the next 2 years, NEA predicts the loss of 370,000 members in the wake of the Janus ruling. Consider those losses, plus the current 88,000 educators who are now non-members who pay agency fees for the union. The NEA believes they will lose many of these as well. Here locally, teacher union Education Minnesota is a major DFL contributor, providing financial backing and other support from thousands of members. The PAC for Education Minnesota has spent $2.2 million in political donations since 2016.
Can you believe that?
That's a lot of money, mostly on DFL campaigns, making it one of the state's leading donors.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Educators for Excellence survey, Minnesota teachers indicated they felt it is a lot less important for the unions to provide
information
about political candidates and their issue positions or support and endorse political candidates.
Mm-hmm.
In that survey, 62% of Minnesota teachers said their union represents perspectives only somewhat, while another 23% that it did not very much or did not at all. And with these survey statistics and the prognostications for a sharp decline in union membership in the nation's largest teachers' unions, interest is bound to be high here locally for teachers to embark on a mass exodus from Education Minnesota.
Absolutely. We're seeing that the majority don't think that these political pieces of the union are very beneficial to them. Surprise, surprise. So finally, there's a day of reckoning here for these public sector unions. Well, here in studio tonight to help Minnesota teachers understand their union opt-out options is Kim Crockett. Kim is Vice President, Senior Policy Fellow, and General Counsel with the Center of the American Experiment. Kim is an enthusiastic student of the U.S. Constitution and has been a member and officer of the Federalist Society since 1984, when she founded the student chapter at Penn Law in Philadelphia. Here in Minnesota, Kim was elected to 2 4-year terms on the Deep Haven City Council. She was also an appointee of former Governor Tim Pawlenty to the Minnesota Supreme Court Committee on Minnesota's Code of Judicial Conduct. Kim's research, writing, and advocacy focuses on public unions and labor law and public pensions, just to name a few. Federalism and the rule of law are the framework for Kim's policy work. She regularly consults with state and national policymakers and contributes commentaries to the Star Tribune, Pioneer Press, and other newspapers across Minnesota. She also guest speaks at area chambers, business groups, and on radio and television, explaining the impact of state policy to Minnesotans. And we are privileged to have Kim join us here on Education Nation. Thank you so much for joining us, Kim.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
Yes, it's an important topic. And as you're going to point out pretty soon, this is an important week for our public sector teacher union. So we'll be getting to that in a little bit. So I'm going to jump in with some questions for you right away here, Kim, since our time is always so limited and goes so quickly. As of June 27th, fair share payers, those that are non-members of unions, are no longer required to help pay for collective bargaining costs as a condition of employment as they were before. So if a teacher has opted out before, such as in the case of a fair share payer, does that teacher need to do that again?
The simple answer is no. Okay. Now, Education Minnesota actually raised union dues last summer in 2017 by $14 to pay for something called a renewal agreement campaign. Teachers may have seen it as the power of we. Ads on television, videos, emails. There was this whole campaign anticipating a loss at the Janus case. So I would just
that's important to know.
If you were not a member of a union on June 27th, you had not signed any kind of union card. You were a fair share fee payer. You got a pay raise that day.
Wonderful.
Our impression is that every school district and every public employer across Minnesota stopped deducting fair share fees, about 85% of union dues, from paychecks. So, and I think those checks were generated on July 1st, though that may not be true for all public employees. Okay. So they should have seen a pay raise.
Yeah.
But what we're concerned about is that some may have felt pressured or fooled into signing this renewal agreement. So just be sure of that. But if you really were a fair share fee payer on June 27th, there's nothing you have to do. You got a pay raise. Congratulations. And what else can you do with that money?
Right. Well, and a lot of money, too, because as you pointed out, even though they're non-members of the union, they were still paying about 75%, did you say, of the union dues anyway? 85%. Think of that. That's just highway robbery,
And most of that wasn't going to collective bargaining.
Right, that's my point.
Going to politics.
Yes, yep. It's going back in the pockets of a lot of candidates, too. And usually, as we've pointed out in the introduction, the vast majority of those donations are going to Democratic candidates versus any other independents or Republicans.
And I thought that was all supposed to be done away with in the Abood versus the Detroit Board of Education case, that the left was very upset. They felt that that case was being ignored with this whole Janus ruling. Is that correct?
Kind of corrected decision, maybe?
Yes, Abood was a very naive case. It was actually launched in 1969 by 10 wonderful educators in the Detroit area, Mr. Louis Abood being the lead, and it took them 8 long years to get before the U.S. Supreme Court. And the court very naively said, well, first of all, very rudely said, well, you know, we're not worried about this impingement on your First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. We're not going to make you join the union, but you, it would be unfair if you didn't pay for this wonderful contract mm-hmm. that the union was negotiating on your mm-hmm. behalf, even though you didn't ask them to.
Right.
You know, because under labor law, a certified labor union has the right to exclusively represent everybody in the bargaining unit, and that's still true mm-hmm. after Janus. That has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the court naively said, well, you know, we think you should pay for whatever the, you know, nominal cost of collective bargaining
right.
might be, because you're getting a benefit from this contract.
Nominal cost becomes 85% of the union
right.
dues.
Comes cost.
And get this, in Ohio, it was 100%.
No way. Oh, my goodness.
I'm not making that up. In California, it was something closer to like 75%. So it varies around the country. It's, you know, federalism at its best. But the long and short of it is that unions said, oh, my gosh, these people are so naive. They're going to let us decide mm-hmm. what is collective bargaining and what isn't. And so our school teachers have been paying for things like the union attending LGBTQ conferences and advancing
LGBTQ or something like that. Yes, I think
call it LGBTQRS. you know, I mean, because there's like what, how many genders now? 32
quite a
or something.
Few. Mm-hmm.
But that's what they were including in collective bargaining. It's just they threw the kitchen sink in there.
Yeah.
And Minnesota is actually on a 2-year teaching contract. It starts on July 1 and goes for 2 years till June 30th. It hasn't changed a whole lot in mm-hmm. decades, and they're not spending a lot of money, frankly, on what teachers would like them to mm-hmm. spend time and money on, which is, you know, how can we support our teachers, offer them professional development, and all of that translates into doing a better job with our students in the classroom. That's what they want.
That's exactly right.
So it's a long answer to one of many questions that you have.
Right.
For me.
Right.
So
exactly.
I promise not to be so long.
No, it's very interesting. Point. It's good for all of us to get that background on that case. Well, with the Janus ruling's focus on non-union workers, it's important for our listeners to know that there are provisions for teachers that are union members to opt out of the union. So if a teacher is a member, how can they resign or opt out from Education Minnesota and its affiliates? When does the opt-out period begin and when will it end?
Well, the opt-out period begins, and this is why I'm so grateful for your show, on Monday morning.
Wow.
Or actually, you know, midnight or whatever, mm-hmm. 12:01 Sunday night. So September 24th is the beginning of this narrow 7-day window, and it ends on Sunday the 30th.
Okay.
And I have a website designed just for teachers in Minnesota called educatedteachersmn.com, where there's an FAQ. We're going to cover a lot of them here today.
Mm-hmm.
There's information on liability insurance. There's stories about teachers. And I want to just say at the outset that while I'm excited about the idea of teachers exercising what I call their Janus rights now, mm-hmm. We don't want to be like the unions and tell people what to do.
Right.
This is a choice.
Right. Right.
And it may feel like a too big a step for some teachers and just the right thing for others. So that's why we offer the site. And it answers all of your questions. But let's get back to teachers who are union members.
Mm-hmm.
The Janus decision was written in such a way, and I mean, I've been a lawyer since a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Justice Alito was shouting from the bench.
Mm.
It wasn't just a laid-back opinion.
Okay.
This was a First Amendment case, and, mm-hmm. and our courts take First Amendment jurisprudence very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
He said that public employers better get the affirmative consent and have evidence mm-hmm. of that affirmative consent before they deduct dues from paychecks.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Unfortunately, all of that's going to have to be litigated, and it's going to take years.
Hmm.
So here's what we have for teachers in Minnesota today.
Mm-hmm.
The union card still gets to set the terms unilaterally when union members get to resign. So both before Janus and today, what they have is this 7-day window that starts on the 24th. And so if teachers are still pondering whether they want to exercise their Janus rights or they've decided to do it, if you go to educatedteachersmn.com, you will find an opt-out page where you can generate a letter.
Okay.
It also has detailed instructions on what you need to do to feel really confident that the union can't come back and say, well, you know, you didn't dot this I or cross this T. So that website should be very helpful to you in exercising those rights. We don't think the union's unilateral restriction to a 7-day window once a year is going to withstand scrutiny under the Janus, analysis.
Right.
But until we get that ruling, this is what we've got. And it's this fall, and it's exciting following in, you know, the wake of the decision in Janus. And I hope the website's helpful to your listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll repeat that again, educatedteachersmn.com for information about opting out and for a template to write a letter if you decide you want to do that. You're listening to Education Nation, AM 1280, The Patriot, with Rebecca Hagstrom and Mark Durkin and our guest, Kim Crockett from the Center of the American Experiment.
And we'll turn our attention now, Kim, to just some of the inner workings of, the Janus decision and what this means for collective bargaining, since this really was at the center in the Janus case. How does it impact collective bargaining for both union and non-union employees?
Well, the easy answer, again, is it doesn't. That's the short answer. The Janus case just said that individual teachers and other public employees can't be forced to pay any fees in order to take or keep their job. That's all it said.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't affect the certification of a collective bargaining unit.
Okay.
So when teachers went back to school this fall, you know, the local was still in place, the state and national unions still taking fees from them, and teachers will be covered under those contracts, and we'll get to that a little later in the rest of the questions. But the short answer is it has absolutely no impact on collective bargaining. Didn't change those laws at all.
Okay.
A July article in the Star Tribune had cited the concerns of those that were opposed to this Janus decision. And one specific concern involved an increasing number of teachers opting out of union membership dues, which will save each teacher roughly some $800 annually. That is
a lot of money.
And still benefit from the contracts that their local unions negotiate on their behalf, as well as many of the same benefits afforded to dues-paying members. It's feared that this could produce a divisive work environment, some termed it. Also, that it could pit teachers against one another, those who were choosing to opt out versus those that were choosing not to. Can a Minnesota teacher be fired, penalized, or retaliated against for not being a member of Education Minnesota?
The law says if you do that, you're in big trouble. Not only the employers, but the unions. It's actually repeated in several places in our labor law. That they are, you know, of course not able to discriminate or punish or somehow retaliate against our teachers and other public employees. So no, they can't. But let's back up. Why are people who do not belong to the union, and there have been, you know, it's been 7 to 10% of teachers all these years that didn't belong, but they were covered by the contract. It's because historically unions, you know, back in the 30s and 40s when national, you know, foundational national labor laws were being passed like the NLRA, the unions demanded that once they were certified in a workplace that they be the exclusive bargaining agent. So if let's say I'm a school teacher and I want to negotiate my own contract, I can't do it. I'm not allowed to by law. It's the unions that created that free rider, and some unions actually call people freeloaders. I mean, that's just insulting. teachers don't want to be free riders.
Right.
But the unions demanded exclusive representation, so they created this problem.
That is a really important
yes.
point. That's yes. critically important. I'm so glad you mentioned yeah. that, Kim.
And there's a solution to it that, you know, I think is very appealing to our wonderful teachers. And that is if they think that the local is doing a good job, mm-hmm. after they've resigned from Education Minnesota, the state, you know, union, write a thank you note to the local rep
mm-hmm.
and make a donation, a voluntary donation to your local union.
Hmm.
It could be $25. It could be $100. Whatever you mm-hmm. think is appropriate, and thank them for what is often a very difficult task,
mm-hmm.
Assuming they're doing a good job.
Right,
if they're
right.
not, you know, you might just want to say, hey, thanks, and here's some suggestions mm-hmm. on how you could get me back.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
So the free rider problem is caused by the unions demanding that exclusive representation,
yep.
and until that changes, that will be a tension. And from a human standpoint, you know, I see you every day in the hallways. You're my local rep. We're colleagues together. Maybe mm-hmm. we're friends. Write a thank you note.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
your local rep. And mm-hmm. and if they're doing a really great job and you can afford it, yeah, send them a check.
Yep.
It's
yep.
a neat solution to a sticky problem.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of people do appreciate their local unions. It's tends
yeah.
to be more at the state and national level that they start to disagree. So we're running out yep. of time here, so I'm going to try to move on quickly here. Does the Janus versus the AFSCME ruling mean the union will disappear? Will teachers actually have to, I mean, you just got done saying that they can't actually negotiate their own contracts, but do you foresee unions disappearing as a result of this?
No. What Janus is equivalent to legally is what's called right to work.
Mm-hmm.
So the land of the law, you know, land of our country now, or
law of the land. Yep.
The law of the land.
We knew what you meant.
Thank you.
We knew what you meant.
is right to work.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't mean we've gotten rid of collective bargaining or that any of these unions will be, you know, will be decertified. So, no, teachers are not going to have to negotiate their own contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Wisconsin, they did something called Act 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to come back on the show and explain
yeah.
the difference. But
yeah,
Act 10 is totally different. You do have some unions there that have been decertified because so many teachers said, we don't need you
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a real market now for teacher pay. Teachers are making more money.
Mm-hmm.
School districts have saved money on health care things that the unions used to make them do. But
right.
that's a totally different thing, and Wisconsin is unique.
Right.
So, no.
Okay.
The answer is they won't have to negotiate their own contracts. Unfortunately, there's some who'd like to.
Yep. Yep, and can't.
But most teachers don't want to do that, and they want their local to keep doing it, and the local will keep doing
mm-hmm.
it.
So then another concern that teachers might have is what happens to their liability insurance coverage if they choose to opt out? Or the other one might be what happens to their health care benefits if they choose to opt out? What happens at that point?
Right, and there's a whole page on my website, educatedteachersmn.com,
okay.
that talks about the liability coverage.
Okay.
Think about it this way. You've had colleagues for decades who are fair share fee payers who weren't members of the union, and there's national associations aimed directly at teachers
okay.
that provides, you know, in some cases, better liability coverage, double the coverage of Education Minnesota. You know, for very, very small, premium compared to what you've been paying in dues, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you can talk to your auto and home, you know, insurance carrier.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody tell me a week ago that he could get a policy, $500,000 policy for $23 a year.
Wow.
from his home and auto.
That's amazing.
And so we haven't gotten deeply into that because we don't want to get into the business of endorsing, you know, insurance companies or
right.
carriers or any of that. But be rest assured, if you're worried about that, and this has been a very big topic for
mm-hmm.
teachers
processing their Janus rights,
sure.
You can get plenty of liability coverage. And not only that, but they'll walk alongside you just like the union did. They'll defend you. They'll be there for you. If you know, some crazy parent sues you or, mm-hmm. you know, something happens at school. Now, in terms of your health insurance mm-hmm. and pension, mm-hmm. that comes from your employer. It never came from the union. Some people think it comes from the union, and the union would like you to think it comes from them, too.
It's one of the manipulative tactics.
It is a little manipulative, mm-hmm. and it's meant to intimidate and frighten people. But as an employee of a school district, teachers get their benefits from the employer, mm-hmm. and that includes pensions, health insurance, and so none of that gets interrupted. None of that, you know, is changed. Mm-hmm. It may be, by the way, pensions are not subject to collective bargaining in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Which isn't to say that the unions aren't at the bargaining table when negotiating things down in St. Paul.
Right.
And you and I can chat
right.
about that another time.
Mm-hmm.
But it all comes from your, you know, employment relationship.
Mm.
Not from the union.
Hmm. That's good to know. That must be distinctive of Minnesota because I remember hearing that Detroit was having to cut so many pensions because they had kind of promised the moon to these public sector workers years ago, and now they can't afford it. So,
But the pension contributions are still made by the employer and the employee.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not the union that administers the pension fund. It's mm-hmm. the state.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Minnesota hasn't done a good job. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to come on and talk about, I'm an expert in public pensions here.
That'd be interesting.
Michigan's doing a little better.
Okay.
Than we are. And Wisconsin's actually doing great. They have, they have a very solvent system. That does it differently than any other state in the country. Wisconsin
mm-hmm.
pensions are in terrific, terrific shape.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
that's good to know.
All those normal employment benefits, you know, it's just like here at the center, we have a 401k, and I get contributions as an employee from the center, and then I make mine, and that's, you know, a little different from the pensions that teachers have. But it has nothing to do, you know, theirs have nothing to do with this third-party union.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been so helpful talking with you today, Kim. I'm
yes.
so glad that you came on the show and helped us make sense of the Janus decision and how that relates to our teachers. And we do have teachers presumably listening or people who are related to teachers. And we just would ask that you would share Kim Crockett's website with people that might be interested in learning more about their Janus rights. And her website is, again,
EducatedTeachersMN.com.
EducatedTeachersMN.com.
And no time to waste.
Yes.
Yes.
1 week. It starts Monday.
There's 1 week.
1 week.
Now, anyway.
All right. So starting Monday all the way through next Sunday. So get on it if you're interested.
Sunday.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you so much again, Kim, for joining us. And thank you to our listeners for joining us as well. If you would like
thank
to listen
you.
To this podcast or any other podcast, please go to our website, ednationmn.org, ednationmn.org. Visit us on Facebook at Education Nation Radio and Twitter at EdNationMN. We'll see you again next week.